Ramban in the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, as well as in several other places in, from the Bereishis, quotes from the Medrash that myself is similar to him, that the reason why the Torah tells us all of these stories about the Yovel is not so much to give us the past history, that would be pretty irrelevant today, but rather to show us how things are going to be in the future. And if a person knows how to study Chumash well, he'll be able to know how to act in the future. So at the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, Rashi points out from the Medrash that Yaakov Avinu prepared himself for three things: l'shloshet hiskin atzma, l'shloshet dvarim, the doron, v'letfilo, v'lamolchama. First he tried to appease the umas olam. You don't put up your dukes right away and start waging a war. Then you daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then if, as a last resort, you go to Mohammed. The Shaloh has comments at the end of the Sefer Shaloh. He has a running commentary on Chumash that he writes that Bizmaneinu, we can't do Mohammed. We don't have any army. So he says the way we do Mohammed is by giving more Dorah, by having Shtadlonim. He's not exactly has by Shtadlonim speaking with a little chutzpah with the government. That's the Muhammad that we have. You have to give more doron, and then you can stick with a little chutzpah. But one has to prepare for all things. The doron, you don't just say habitochen in the Rebbeinu Shlomo. First, you have to do ishtadlus, and then after you finish your ishtadlus, then you have to give everything over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then you have to be mispalo. You don't just say tilim. You don't just say tilim and you daven. You have to do Doron, you have to do Mohammed. And then you have to have Bitochen as well. The Chazal have a comment in the Medrash about Yosef that if you do a Hishtadlus that's ridiculous, then you'll be punished for that. You have to do a Hishtadlus that's reasonable. If you do an unreasonable Hishtadlus, then it's as if you're demonstrating that that everything is, you lost all of your hope and you're in a state of Yilch. That's not proper. A person should do a Hishtadlus that's within reason. That's the issue in Eretz Yisrael now. Has the government done way more hishtadlus than is acceptable, way more hishtadlus than is reasonable, or is everything reasonable? That's the machlokes in Eretz Yisrael.
So here, if you take that model and base the ladies later on by Yosef, and plug it here, how would you do that business? Like the person is your problem enough to do anything about it.
I don't know if the Beis Halevi means no ishtadlus. It means unreasonable ishtadlus. He considers that. The Medrash considers the request that he made of the Sarah Mashkin as an unreasonable ishtadlus. You have to do within reason. So what Yaakov Avinu did was reasonable. You have to act as if there's no Yad Hashem. You have to prepare for war. You have to give Doron. There is a Chayvus ishtadlus. There is a Parsha Mohammed in the Chumash. The Torah has a Din of Mohammed. You have to fight to protect yourself. The Pasuk gives the strategy of Yaakov Avinu. He divides everybody into two machnas, and he says, "Ayachet some l'shnei machnas. If Esav comes on a machna achas v'yikov, v'hoyo hamacha hanisha l'fleito." Medrash comments on this pasuk: "Mikan limdosa tzer deracheret. You should diversify your investments. You should buy mutual funds." And you shouldn't put all of your eggs in one basket. That's what it says in the Medrash on this pasuk. And Klal Yisrael should always be careful. They shouldn't all live in one area. And the Medrash says that this was so throughout all the generations. When it was Machna Achas Vehiko, so Vahoya Machna Anisha Lefleiko. It was always Hatzola, the fact that there were Jews in another part of the world. That's when Hitler started to come to power in Europe. The Chafetz Chaim was still alive. It was towards the end of his life, so they asked him what's going to be. So he said, the Hatzalah will be in Eretz Yisrael. And he quoted the pasuk from this week's Haftarah. V'hartzion tiya pleito. The pleito will be in Eretz Yisrael. And then they asked him, but they're not frum in Eretz Yisrael, the chalutzim are not religious. So he said, the next phrase in the pasuk, v'hoya kodesh. It will become frum. That's the pasuk that appears on the front door of the Panavish Yeshiva. They put that pasuk on because the Chavetz Chaim said that they should go to Eretz Yisrael, and that's where the plate will be. That's the minig of the Sfardim to say that haftarah. Parshas haftarah vayishlach kiti minig haSfardim has the pasuk. The pasuk exists without the Sfardim also. It's a, but it's not a haftarah. But hatzian tiyeh plate of the Hoya Kodesh. So the Medrash says that this strategy of Yaakov Avinu was going to be a limud l'doros, that we shouldn't have all the Jews living in one location. We should have them live in different areas. In case anything happens to one part of the community, the others will be nitzon. The Medrash has a complaint against the Yaakov Avinu. This should be the strategy, Doron l'tfilo v'le Muhammad. This should be the strategy if you're confronted with the enemy. But you don't have to go, Kozman, the enemy doesn't come, Kozman, the Yom don't come to start up with you, so you don't have to go negotiate with them. So the matter says that this was improper on the part of Yaakov Avinu that he sent this message to Esav. Esav is nowhere near. So he should have waited till Esav confronts him. And Medrash compares it to the pasuk in Mishlei, where a person goes over, there's a dog on the other side of the street, a person goes over to start up with the dog. What do you start up with the dog? If the dog comes over to start up with you, you have to figure out how to deal with the dog. But you go out of your way in order to deal with the dog. So Medrash says that Yankov did wrong over you. Medrash interprets the psukim like that, that Yankov did something improper. That's the question in also in Eretz Yisrael. This whole peace process in Oslo was started by the Israeli government. America didn't pressure them into it. The American government was taken by surprise for the whole thing. They didn't know what was going on when they started. That's the Shiloh. Who told them to start up with the dog? But they have to. It was really necessary. The dog was holding by starting up with them. It's also a machlekes, whether it was like Yaakov Avinu, you know, the way the Medrash says that they shouldn't have started up in the first place, or there really was some pressure. The matana that he sends. The matana that Yaakov sends Esav, and he gives the messengers the nusach that they should say, Ko amar abducha Yaakov, ko somer ladoini li Esav. He should such lushainus of hachno. So the Gemara in Soita has a whole sugi about chanifa l'rishoyim. How terrible it is when a person chanfes a rasha. Let's say a person is mechal Shabbos, he doesn't keep kashrus, he doesn't keep the laws of the Torah. So I make him the guest of honor in the yeshiva annual dinner, and we sit him up on front, and we give him all the kibbutzim, and we don't say anything about the fact that he's mechal Shabbos, he's not to a shiksa. And then his wife gets up and she donates $1,000 from her own money and out of respect for her husband's religion. It happened. And the best of the yeshivas, it happens. Koilal, it happens. So this is, the Gemara says, this is terrible. The Medrash says how terrible this is. This mamish lifnei l'sita mikshol. There's one kind of lifnei l'sita mikshol when you makshol the person to do the aveir. There's another kind of lifnei l'achar ha'maisa. The person already did the aveir, but you pat him on the back and you make him the guest of honor. And you say how what a wonderful guy he is. What a wonderful person he is. And he has you convincing him as if to believe that he's going to have a mechilas avoinus for all the aveiras that he did because of the fact that he supports your yeshiva. Or the fact that he supports Medina Yisrael or something like that. So the Gemara says how terrible an aveira it is, chanifa l'rishayim. Then the Gemara, after the whole sugya, says we learn from Yaakov Avinu muta lahachnef rishayim bo'olam hazeh. Bo'olam hazeh you're allowed to, because look at Yaakov Avinu, he's machnef Esav. He doesn't say anything about all the aveiras that Esav is doing. Pats him on the back and he says adoni Esav abducha Yaakov Avinu. So when is it asa lahachnef rishayim bo'olam hazeh? The conclusion is muta lachna v'shoyim bo'olam hazeh. So it's also lachna v'shoyim bo'olam hazeh. So what does it negate? What do you mean? Bo'olam hazeh is also lachna v'shoyim. The whole Gemara goes on bo'olam hazeh. What's the chastira between the beginning and the end of the sugya? So Tosfos says on the Gemara, what it means is muta lachna v'shoyim bo'olam hazeh for tipikuach nefesh. And it doesn't mean it's a pikuach nefesh for your institution, that your yeshiva will go under if you won't be it means a pikuach nefesh for the klal Yisrael. Someone, a human being is going to die, a matter of life and death, not a matter of life and death for the yeshiva, a matter of life and death for a person. Yaakov Avinu was afraid, either right or wrong. The matter says that it was wrong, he shouldn't have approached Esav, but he thought that that there was an imminent sakana, so he went and he was machnef to Russia for the sake of pikuach nefesh. No, pikuach nefesh is doicha Treifus, so it's Deicha Lifneiver of Treifus, it's Deicha Shabbos, it's Deicha Lifneiver of Shabbos, it's Deicha the din of Hachnofus, Rishon, Bolem Hazeh, it's a form of Lifneiver.
Where do you see that you can't be Machnefem on mitzvahs that they're doing? That's if you want to be Machnefem Stam, like Esav, but if you're doing a mitzvah, so you can't praise him for doing such a nice mitzvah supporting Yeshua.
Yeah, but if you don't say anything privately or publicly about the other, you don't have to bop him over the head. But if you don't even say anything privately to him about the fact that he's doing averis, you are certainly misleading him into believing that all of his averis are insignificant, and he's going to go straight to Olam Habo because of the fact that he supports the charitable institutions. Moshe Feinstein has tshuvas about this, about not only does he have tshuvas about tzitzis and tefillin and naming babies, he has tshuvas about more serious things too. He has about hachnachas shushayim b'olam hazeh. So he quotes all these gemaras that is forbidden. Also, not so bad. Not so bad. I don't think that's a chalifa. You're not going out of your way for this person more than anybody else. Whenever a person has a simcha, a bar mitzvah, or a chasen or something, so you praise whoever the bala simcha happens to be, whether it's a tzaddik or a rosha. You give him, that's the minhag hamdina. But to make the guy guess the bar is something out of the ordinary, that's called chalifa levishon.
Also, what do you do about the frequently, I don't know why it works out this way, but frequently somebody who's looking at them from something with $1 million and you with you, you can't, what can you do to the person on the other side of the letter? Thank you. Like, the guy walked in, like,
okay, but you have to tell them privately. We hope someday you will enjoy the fruit of your money. We hope someday you'll daven in the shul.
Okay.
I don't know. It's a problem. Every rabbi has to figure out. That's the nisayon of being in the rabbin. Okay. It's not easy. The pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu was petrified. Vayira Yaakov miyod vayetzalo. When he got the message that his brother was coming with 400 men, what does he need 400 men for? So he thought that this is a whole army, that they're going to wipe him out. So he was very concerned. So Rashi quotes the Medrash that even though he had had a haftocha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to protect him, nonetheless he was afraid that katonti mikol hachasodim, that maybe the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him so much chesed, maybe nismatu zecho yoichai and shema nislachlachti bechet, the Yigramli, maybe the fact that he was chayte will cause that the haftocha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him will not be fulfilled. So there's a famous kasha that Mefarshim asked the Gemara in Masechah Shabbos, quoted by the Rambam in Hilchos Yiseder Torah, when he talks about nevuah. The Gemara says that whenever there's a nevuah l'toivo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is never going to back out from that nevuah. That's assumed to be unconditional. Nevuah l'roah, even though it wasn't given on a condition, is always assumed to be conditional, that the nevuah l'roah doesn't necessarily have to be fulfilled. That if later on the people do tshuvas, then the nevuah l'roah will not take place. But the nevuah l'toivo will always be fulfilled. How can it be that Yaakov Avinu is afraid maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not fulfill the promise that he gave him in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze? How can it be? That was a nevuah l'toivo. So there's a famous explanation given by Rabbi Yitzchok Hanan in the Hakdamah to his Shailos HaTshuvos, where he quotes from the Rambam in Hilchos Yiseder Torah. The Rambam sounds like he says that the reason why a nevuah l'toivo will never be reversed is because otherwise you can never tell who's a Navi Asheker, who's a Navi Ho'emes. When a Navi introduces himself, so you only have to believe, you have to listen to everything the Navi tells you, but only provided the Navi says the nevuah something is going to happen, says a few times what's going to happen, and he becomes a Navi Muchzuk. He's been established as a Navi by predicting the future. So if the Navi says something or another is going to happen, and then it doesn't happen, so you see that he's not a Navi on this. He said Menavot's going to happen, didn't happen. So the Rambam sounds like he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never give a Nevuah L'Toivo and then back down from it, because then you can never check a Navi to know whether he's a Navi Emes or a Navi Sheker. A Nevuah L'Roah, okay, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can change his mind. We've got to say that both Nevuah L'Toivo and Nevuah L'Roah, everything is understood that it's Allah Tanai. So you can never check whether the Navi is a Navi Emes or a Navi Sheker. So Bitzke Chonam says this is only by Medvam Amurim, if it's a Nevuah L'Toivo that was delivered to somebody else. The Navi is given Nevuah L'Toivo to deliver to Bnei Yisrael. So such a Nevuah L'Toivo that's given Lacherim is not going to be revoked, not going to be reversed. But over here, the Nevuah L'Toivo was a private Nevuah that was given to Yaakov Avinu. He didn't tell it over to anybody else. So he was concerned. Maybe that was self-understood that it's Allah Tanai, and if he doesn't deserve it later on, the Nevuah L'Toivo will not be fulfilled. He was concerned, Shema Nislachlachvi Bechet, maybe I dirtied myself with Averis by hanging around Lavan. And the Mela, the Nevuah L'Toivo that was given to me, will not be fulfilled. One of the great Hasidic Rebbe's commented on this pasuk. I think this Vasem says, Vayira Yaakov Miyod Vayetzalo. Vayira Yaakov Miyod, he was very afraid of Esav. Vayetzalo, he was aggravated why he was afraid of Esav. Vayetzalo over this matter. Not that Vayira Yaakov Miyod Vayetzalo are a repetition, Kefal Adovar. But rather, Vayira Yaakov Miyod, he was afraid of Esav. Vayetzalo, that all of his life he was never afraid of a bus of a dog. He succeeded in having to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On this occasion he was aggravated why he had a Meira bus of a dog. Whatever it is, it's a terrible madrega. Many people all their lives live in the pachad of other human beings. It's a madrega of a person's bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Meira Layal al Roshoi. Where the Chazal had one interpretation, Mara Basav Adam Layala Rosha, that if a person is never afraid of a Basav Adam, he only feels indebted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's never afraid of human beings. It's quite a madrega. Rashi quotes a comment from the Medrash, why the Kefal Adofa, why say Vayir Yaakov Miyod Vayetzalo. So Rashi quotes a Medrash that he made famous. Vayira Shema Yehareg, he was afraid lest he would get killed. Vayetzalo Shema Yaharog Hu Es Acherim, lest he should kill others. So the Mefarshim ask on the Medrash, what is he afraid lest he will kill others? If they're coming to kill him, Habala Hargo Hashkim Lahargo, why should he be afraid of killing other people? Unless he didn't want Enachanami Al Pidin, there's nothing to be concerned about, but he didn't want to develop Achzorius in his. And is as part of his personality. True, that the Jewish army has the right to kill the Nochrim who are starting up with us, but then they those soldiers who do kill terrorists become very hardened. They develop Amida Vachzorius. Could be that's the Pashup Shot. But there's a famous Bertel from one of the Chassidish Rebbes that he interpreted based on the Gemara in the end of Hurrius. The Gemara says that Rab Meir and Rab Nosson prepared a revolt against Rabbi Gamliel. They wanted to kick him off of the Nesias, that he should no longer be the chief rabbi. So they were going to publicly embarrass him that he doesn't know Mishnah Suktzin, and then somehow someone relayed the message to Rabbi Gamliel that he learned Duktzin that night. And they didn't succeed in firing him. They didn't succeed in kicking him out. And then the Chachamim, the Tanoim, decided that they have to punish these two Tanoim. They have to punish Rab Meir and Rab Nosson for making this attempt to be Mevaza in public, the chief rabbi. So from that time on, they referred to Rab Meir as Acherim Omrim, instead of mentioning him by name, and they referred to Rab Nosson as Yesh Omrim. And then there's a Gemara in Gittin, Perek HaNizokin, that Rab Meir was a descendant of Gerim. He was a descendant of Niran Kesa. So if you put these two together, so one of the great Chassidish Rebbe says, Vayetzel Hashem Yarges Acherim, he was afraid that he would, Yaakov Avinu was afraid he'll kill Esav. He has a right to kill Esav. He has a right to kill all of these terrorists. But he may cause that Rab Meir won't be born. Acherim refers to Rab Meir. He may cause that Rab Meir won't be born. Shema Yargu Es Acherim. But that's not the Poshup Shah. The Poshup Shah Shem Yarek Sachem. He said, you have to be concerned about killing the Goyim also. The Goyim are also human beings. When you go to war, you're killing Whenever you go to war, you kill innocent people also. So that's the hetter milchama. You have no choice. Whenever there's a hetter milchama, it's a hetter not only to kill the soldiers. Sometimes the killing soldiers means that you have to kill civilians as well. So you have no brera. So that's what he was afraid of. Shema yaregu es acher. Pasuk described by Yankov Avinu was left all alone by Vasa Yankov Levado, and the Shaloh has a long arichas on this. By Yehovah Kishima Adolos Hashachar, this represents, this is my service similar bonim, that that the Jewish people are always going to have trouble Adolos Hashachar until Yemos HaMashiach. It's going to be by Yehovah Gishimo, you're going to have different Umas Olam are going to be starting up with Klal Yisrael all the years Adolos Hashachar until Bias HaMashiach. And the Easter, some interpret the Pasuk, Rav Shlomo Levilna interprets, it's highly questionable whether this is correct. The Pasuk says, Alkein Liyocha B'nei Yisrael Zgir HaNashah Ad HaYoyim HaZeh. So what does it mean Ad HaYoyim HaZeh? Till this very day. Of course, till this very day. So the Rav Shlomo Levilna interprets also as a hemshech of this Zohar, Adoyim Azeh, until Bias HaMashiach. That after Mashiach comes, then you can eat Gid Anasha. That's what happened with Shabtai Tzvi. Shabtai Tzvi proclaimed himself as the Melech HaMashiach, who is a Meshuganah. He converted later on to Islam in order to save his life, a real Meshuganah, and all of his followers said, that's what you got to do, you got to be all converted to Islam. Whatever the Rebbe, they were so angeglucked in the Rebbe. So whatever he did was the right thing. They didn't realize the Rebbe just converted in order to save his life. He converted Beisim. So that one of his Mishigasim was that he told everybody he's here already, Mashiach is here, and they could eat Gidon Asher. So they were eating Gidon Asher. Lubavitch, even though the many of the Lubavitcher claimed that the Rebbe is Mashiach, but they didn't start eating Gidon Asher yet. So this is highly questionable to say that Limos HaMashiach Gidon Asher is Mutter. The Pashto says that if you have a mitzvah which only applies up until Bias HaMashiach, and then when Mashiach comes the mitzvah doesn't apply, so the Rambam would not count it as one of the Taryag mitzvahs. Then it's only a Hirashua, and the Rambam clearly does count Gid HaNashe. Everybody includes Gid HaNashe in the minyan mitzvahs of the Taryag. So the Pashto says that it's not so. It could be that Gid HaNashe represents this idea that this idea of Jewish history, that Vayivasa Yaakov Levado, Klal Yisrael is always isolated. We always have attacks from the Umas Olam by Yehovah Kishimo, and this is going to continue out Alois HaShachar. Okay, this is it could be that that's the idea, that that's what's represented by Gid HaNashe, but it doesn't follow that it that Gid HaNashe is going to be Mutar Limos HaMashiach. The Rambam has quite an arichas on in his Pirush HaMishnayos and Per Gid HaNashe on the pasuk Alkein Liyochu Bnei Yisrael. Who are the Bnei Yisrael? Bnei Yisrael refers to the Jewish nation. Bnei Yisrael means the children of Yaakov Avinu. So the Mishnah in Gid HaNashe has a machlokes Satanoim. And the Pashat Pshat in the machlokes is when this machlokes, when did the prohibition of Gid HaNashe begin? Was Gid HaNashe also to Bnei Noach, or was it mutter to Bnei Noach? What do you mean Bnei Noach? Bnei Noach, I only have seven mitzvahs Bnei Noach. This is not from the mitzvahs. So the Shaila is the Bnei Yaakov Avinu. It doesn't mean Bnei Noach. It means the Bnei Yaakov Kodem Matan Torah called Bnei Noach. That's what Tosafos says. So there seems to be Pasha Pshat HaMachlokes Satanayim. When did the mitzvah of Gid HaNashe begin? Did it begin right away? And the meaning Alkein Liyocha Bnei Yisrael means the children of Yaakov Avinu, whose name was changed on this occasion from Yaakov to Yisrael. So they were forbidden. They were already forbidden to eat Gid HaNashe. Or should you say no, that this pasuk is written here, just it really belongs later after Matan Torah, because the mitzvah of Gid HaNashe wasn't given until after Matan Torah, but the pasuk is written here out of order in order that we should know what the historical background is, that we don't eat Gid HaNashe zecher to this story. So the machlokes HaTanaim and the Mishnah in Chulin is where the Gid HaNashe only applies to kosher animals or even applies to non-kosher animals. If the din of Gid HaNashe was only given after Matan Torah, so the prohibition against eating horses and elephants and pigs already was given, So what do you need a prohibition to eat the gid hanasha? You can't eat the whole animal. What's the chiddush? You can't eat the gid hanasha. So obviously the yisa gid hanasha, it's self understood. The yisa gid hanasha only applies to kosher animals. It doesn't apply to non-kosher animals. But if one should assume that the prohibition of gid hanasha was given in the days of Yankov Avinu, that b'nei Yisrael means b'nei Yaakov, and not permitted to eat gid hanasha, so it means that it even applies to non-kosher animals, because at that time, we understand they may have volunteered not to eat non-kosher. That could be as an enem mitzvah v'yosef, if that makes sense, to volunteer to observe a loisessin. But they weren't prohibited from eating non-kosher animals. At that time, the elephants and the horses and the mules and all the other animals, the non-kosher animals were permissible. So the prohibition of Giranash applies to all the non-kosher animals as well. So that's a machlekes, that's the machlekes atanan, whether Giranash is no bitmeya or not. So that's the way Tesis learns the machlekes, whether the Yisra Giranash was given on this occasion or not. The Rambam quotes a medrash and the Yara Hazoka that it's not so. The Rambam quotes a medrash that of course Giranash was given to Yaakov Avinu. That's the way it says it. Okay, the Rechman says Giranash. That's not a machlekes atanan. The Rambam quotes the medrash that there were seven mitzvahs b'nei merach. Adam HaRishon was given six mitzvahs. He wasn't given Eid Menachai because he had to be a vegetarian. He had no right to eat meat at all. And the Yisr Eid Menachai was only given after the Mabul, when Noach was permitted to eat meat. So then he was given the prohibition of Eid Menachai. And then that's the way the whole world was running until the days of Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu was given an additional mitzvah of Milah, and he was the one who instituted Shachris. And then Yitzhak Avinu Hifrish Maisris, because it says Hayimtza Sham Me'a Shuarim, that Yitzhak Avinu B'mei HaRov wanted to go down to Mitzrayim the same as Avraham Avinu had done B'mei HaRov. Harishon HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him we shouldn't go down to Mitzrayim. Shchom Ba'aretz Hazos, he should stay in Eretz Gerar, which is Eretz Yisrael, it's not Chutz La'aretz. Yitzhak wasn't allowed to go to Chutz La'aretz, so he went to Chevel Aza. Chevel Aza is a chelek of Eretz Yisrael. That's what it says in the Chumash. And he didn't go to Chutz La'aretz. At that time, even though it wasn't Eretz Yisrael proper, it was the Gaza Strip, nonetheless, it says he planted and was a Shnas Ra'av, and Vayimtza Me'a Shorim, he had 100 times as much as he expected to get. Why did he make a calculation as to how much he's going to get and see that he got 100 times as much? So Rashi quotes the Medrash that he made an Omid L'maisis. He was estimating how much maisis does he think. How many payers does he think he's going to get in order to determine how much mice he's going to give? And it turned out that it was 100 times the mice. He gave 100 times as much as the projected amount. So you see from the pasuk, by implication, you see from the pasuk that Yitzchak hifrish mice. So that's like, you can't be mafish mice unless you're given such a din. There's no din of tevel. So you see, even though Yitzchak wasn't commanded to be mafish mice, but he was given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu the opportunity to be mafish mice, and then Yitzchak was the one who instituted Tfilas Mincha. And then the Rambam continues with this Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, that Yaakov Avinu was given the prohibition of Gid Anoshim, and he was the one who instituted the Tfilas Arvis. So the Rambam says that that's Muskam L'choladeis, that Gid Anoshim was given to Yaakov Avinu. So what's the Machloekes Satanoim in the Mishnah? That the Gid Anoshim is Noig B'tmei or not? And the Gemara explains, and the Mishnah explains, that the Machloekes depends on whether Gid Anoshim was only given after Matan Torah was given in the days of Yaakov Avinu. Of course, the Rambam says, of course it was given in the days of Yaakov Avinu. That's what it says in the Medrash. That's the simple reading of the Pasuk. So the Rambam has an Arichas, a long essay in the Pirush HaMishnayos and Feragid Anoshe, at the end of Chulin, where he explains the following. Machlokes HaTanaim is, why are we today obligated to why are we forbidden to eat Gid Anoshe? Is it because of the tzivoy that was given to Yaakov Avinu, the original tzivoy? Or should we assume that it had to be repeated to Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai? That we today are not obligated to do anything because of what Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov were given. So the Rambam says, that's the maskana. We paskin that even Bris Milah, that it sounds in the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, the Parshat the reading is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the mitzvah Bris Milah to Avram Avinu, for you and all the generations to come, Atzoif Kaladaira. So the Rambam says, no, it's not true. That's according to the opinion of one Tana, and that's the Tana whose opinion is not accepted. The accepted view is that we today are obligated to continue to practice Bris Milah because it was repeated to Moshe Rabbeinu. Har Sinai, all the other Nevi'im can only get a Hayruah Shor. The only one who gets a Din L'Doris is Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's how the Gemara comments on the first daf in Megillah. The Gemara comments on the concluding pasuk in either in Chumash Vayikra or Chumash Bamidbar, the Marsha. On the first half of Megillah points out it's not clear in the Gears and the Gemara which pasuk they're quoting. They both psukim say practically the same thing. Eila hamitzvah is hashativ Hashem es Moshe behar Sinai al b'nei Yisrael. approximately with slight shinui between the concluding pasuk in Chumash Vayikra and the concluding pasuk in Chumash Bamidbar. So the pasuk means to say, Eilah mitzvahs, these and only these are the mitzvahs that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu Mikan. From this pasuk we derive the miut Eila, Shaynavi Rashala Khadish Dava Miyata, no Navi, and the Rambam understands no Navi before Moshe Rabbeinu, no Navi after Moshe Rabbeinu, was ever given a mitzvah. Mitzvah means a din that's noig l'doris. The other Nevim are only given Hayru Ashur. So the fact that we today still observe Gidan Asher, and the fact that we today still continue to observe Bris Milah, is not because it was given to Yaakov Avinu, nor because it was given to Avram Avinu, it's because it was repeated to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. Because whatever Avram Avinu got, whatever Yaakov Avinu got, can only be a Hayru Ashur. Yerushalmi says all the Yamim Tevim are Asidim Lehi Batel. The Pashup Shad refers on the Yamim Tevim in Megillas Tainus. It doesn't go on the Yamim Tevim in the Chumash. His man Baisheni, the Tanoim, instituted additional Yamim Tevim, all of which already became Batel a long time ago, except for Chanukah and Purim. So it says that all of those Yamim Tevim will go Batel except for Purim. Purim will remain. Zichum la Yosef Mizarim. But it doesn't go on the Yamim Tevim there, I see. The Pashup Shad.
Right.
I might consider also that it was later on given to him. I don't know. Tanoim understood from the Loshen, Akin Lamarachel Bnei Yisrael, is Gidan Asher. That they're not called Bnei Yisrael till after Matan Torah. His name was changed from Yaakov to Yisrael. But they should call his children Bnei Yisrael. That's a term that means the Jewish nation, the Jewish people. So that's why the Tanoim understood that, although it's self understood that the mitzvah Gidan Asher was given immediately, but the pasuk implies that it was repeated. The phrase Akelech Bnei Yisrael Gidan Asher implies that it was repeated in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. I don't know. That's how the Rambam interprets.
Rambam, I also didn't understand so clearly. It came out that the Rambam.
That's what Rabbi Lozdun just pointed out. So I suggested, I don't know the answer, I'm guessing, so I suggest maybe from the usage of the expression Bnei Yisrael. The true Yaakov Avinu's name was changed now from Yaakov to Yisrael, but we don't find that his children are called Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael is a technical term that means the Jewish nation. That's usually used later in Chumash. You don't find it earlier here.
The most expressed only mentioned once, though. The other one we have to just extrapolate out that presumably Hashem did command that that father don't even get an answer.
Correct. Yeah.
Separate from the lack of Yisrael and Gidan Asher, the Rambam doesn't mention that Eber Minichai, Gidan Asher, and Mila were all reauthorized through Moshe Rabbeinu. Multiple Tamidim have always raised the question, without Purim, that it's mentioned, but we don't have it recorded later. And you don't have this Rebbe's Teretz, the Bnei Yisrael, that Gidan Asher, you only
the
find
Gemara in the Gemara in Sanhedrin raises the question regarding Purim. So the Gemara says it is repeated, that after Matan Teretz says, V'atem shuva lachem v'yor aleichem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, V'atapah modi modi, he should remain parish minishto, and tell Bnei Yisrael, shuva lachem v'yor aleichem. So the Gemara understands that phrase, Baholo is basis of ishto, that means their wives. So that pasuk is the repeat of period review. The Gemara says that the other mitzvah shenemer of initness, it was formulated before Matan Torah, then it's repeated after, then it only applies to the Jewish people. So the Gemara says that Piribiribi was appears twice. It was formulated in Bereshis and Noach, then it was repeated after Matan Torah. So that's why Mikan al Abba only applies to the Jewish people.
Been ready a few weeks, Parshas Bereishis before the Rav, like they said, back to Mar and Sanhedrin on the Tech, when they discussed all the things that were repeated, that by Puruvu, then how do you explain the Goyim? So, when you were so late, before you said,
how do you explain what?
What about the Goyim? So, you say that they're Soviets, so they just have they're just imitating a Kodesh Baruch Halakha B'Drach. I mean, you quote a Soloveitchik that, okay, fine, that's for the Jews. And what do you do about the Goyim?
No. I quote Rav Soloveitchik has in his published essays that part of the mitzvah period is Milos Ha'aretz V'Chid Shuha, that you have to conquer the world, you have to fly to outer space, and you have to try to master all of chemistry and physics and biology and medicine, and try to conquer all the sicknesses and everything. So I said, that's what he has, that the man's flying to outer space is not a merit and not a revolt against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the wish of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the man's desire to fulfill the mitzvah of V'chiv Shua. Milos Ha'aretz V'chiv Shua. So I pointed out that, but this is a problem. That was Kodesh Matan Torah, when the mitzvah period, if you apply to all the nations of the world, so part of the mitzvah also was the Chibshua. But after Matan Torah, the whole nature of the mitzvah changed. The whole nature of the mitzvah only applies to Bnei Yisrael. It only means that we should transmit the Masorah of the Torah to the next generation. That's why it no longer applies to the Yom, so no longer should include Milus or the Chibshua. So I suggested that maybe what Rav Soloveitchik said, based on that pasuk, maybe that's still binding Mizman Hazeh, based on the Halakhta B'drachim. Maybe we're still mechuyev to conquer all the sicknesses and master the whole world and fly to outer space, based on the Halakhta B'drachim.
As I'm saying, all Midos Talmud, not to be
college, college, and village. Oh, so Rav Soloveitchik thought that the Gemara lists off all the different things. He thought that that's Lav Dafke, those particular things. He said, because the Rambam writes in the Yad HaZoker that the reason why the Nevi'im describe the activities of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in order to teach us what is included in V'halachta B'drachim. So you thought when the Gemara says Mahu Chanan, Afato Chanan, Mahu Racham, Mahu Kovan Mason, Mahu Menachem Aveilim, he thought that Gemara was Labdafke. You have to learn through the way the Rambam writes in Yad HaZoker, you have to learn through the whole Tanakh. You see the way the Nevi'im describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu as running his business, as running the whole world, and that's how we have to act as well. So that's a Chiddush. That's a Chiddush. Okay. So that's if you should assume that chiddush, then one can perhaps say that v'chiv shua is included in the halachta
v'drachim. Where does the Torah allude to the economics that they were not guys only said before Matan Torah? So where does it allude to the fact that
Kali's
soul 7
is
the Matan Torah?
Is repeated.
Yeah. So on these two, the question that they weren't repeated, doesn't Ron explain in these cases that the Mishnah uses the Lashon B'Sinai Nemer El Shemeshtav in Kainai? So it could be that the idea is that in fact that there's an Israel that implies that Kali Zel's Mitzuhan. But you could then ask the question, if Kali Zel's Mitzuhan, why doesn't it appear after Mount Torah? The fact that the Torah chose to record it earlier is sort of parking measurement. Use the Lashon Neitzel to indicate that Neitzel is Mitzuvah, but it recorded it earlier to indicate that there was also an earlier Tzibur.
Okay. It was Mustaba B'Shas Mais, and it was repeated later? Yeah. Ramah quotes the minig by many Ashkenazim. They don't know, it's a minig, that they don't know exactly which Giranoshe, which part, which is the Giranoshe, which is the Chalif, so you don't eat any of the Achuraim of the Behemoth. But that's only a minig. There are people who do know how to remove the Chalif and the Giranoshe, and the rest of the meat is Mutam. Right before when the Nazis were making all the Xeris against the Jews, so that was one of the early Xeris, that they said the Jews shecht too many behemoths. They shecht more animals than their proportion of the population. We shecht twice as many animals because we don't. The religious Jews don't eat the hind parts of the animal because of the Giranosh and because of the Chalif. So they prohibited Jews from shechting so much. They prohibited shechita in Gansi. The next step was they prohibited shechita in Gansi. The first step was they prohibited that we're not allowed to shecht so many animals. But at that time, Rav Chaim Moshe has a tshuva. At that time he was mekel. He says, look, the minig was that if you can afford it, so you don't eat the acharayim. But if you don't have enough meat to go around, so then you can violate the minig. The minig is not binding throughout all the generations under all circumstances. If the goy make a gzeiris hashma, that they don't let a shecht twice as many. So then we may eat acharayim. Just have to be careful to remove the gid and the chelot. What exactly does it mean Akein lo yochel b'nei Yisrael is gid al nosha? Why is that the reason? What is this zeicher to? The different Rishonim have different interpretations. Some Rishonim interpret that if you read through the parsha, Yaakov Avinu had already a few grown children at this time, and none of the children helped him. It says, "Vayivasa Yaakov Levado," the old man. He was ancient already. He was very old at that time. He was in his 90s, no, or older. It was over 100. It was over 100, I think. He was 84 when he went to. When he went there, he was there for 20 years, he was over 100 years old. And none of his miserable children can help him carry the valises. He had to carry everything on his own. So then he was mugged. Then the fella started up with him and he broke his leg. So the children realized that they did wrong. What was keep it out of the Yangsa? Okay, therefore, as a kaparla, they said on their own, we better not eat Gidon Asher, just to remember that next time we have to fulfill keep it out. That's how the Cheskuni and some other Rishonim interpret. That the idea behind the prohibition of Gidon Asher is we should all remember that the mitzvah of Kibbutz is still around. Some people think that it's in Kodesh Matan Torah years ago, so it doesn't apply to Zman Hazeh. Chiddush, it still applies to Zman Hazeh. The idea of Kibbutz Yom still applies. Some people only begin to worry about Kibbutz after the parent died. After the parent dies, you got to show COVID, you got to say Kaddish. No, the Ikedin, that's a Chiddush. That's a Chiddush. But the Ikedin of Kibbutz is to give service to the parents while they actually are alive. So that's one interpretation. The more popular interpretation that the Rishonim give is Alkein Liyochmaneisos Giran Asher means a different thing. That we should remember that Klal Yisrael is Lamaila Men Ateva. The Yaakov Avinu in this incident represents Klal Yisrael, and the Malach represents Teva. The Gemara has an expression of Chulin that Ein Lecho Kol Esav Yesav Melamata Shein Lamalach Melmaila Hamaka Osav Amalo Gadel. That every blade of grass has a Malach that beats it and tells it to grow. So the malachim, the different kinds of malachim. The Rambam has 10 different kinds of malachim. So the sum of the malachim simply mean that they do the shlichus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to run the world in its normal fashion. So that's what many of the Rishonim, the Radak and many other Rishonim interpret in the whole incident here. What is the moral of this story? That when Yaakov Avinu has a confrontation with the malach, means when Klal Yisrael are up against the Teva, so the Klal Yisrael win. The Klal Yisrael is Lamala Men HaTeva. That would feed Derech HaTeva, the Jews should have disappeared already a long time ago. Mark Twain writes in one of his books about the Jewish people that they're less than 1% of the world population. We shouldn't have heard so much about them. And they're always in the headlines. Every day they're in the newspaper. Every day the Jews are in the newspaper. So he tries to figure out what's going on. How come these Jews are so little? How come they... So this is the Rebbe Shlom made such a klal that klal Yisrael are always going to last on. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave a haftocha to the klal Yisrael, to Yaakov Avinu, to the others, that klal Yisrael would always continue to exist. And in fact, he was promised later, goyu kal goyu yemi mekom malochem mechalotzecha yetzeyu. So the Gemara comments goyu kal goyu yemi mekom is referring to the Shvatim. Every Shevet is referred to as a Goy. He's going to have Nach another. This was before Binyamin was born. So Binyamin is going to be another Shevet, but then there's going to be more than another Shevet. So that's how Yaakov Avinu knew that he had, and he didn't have any more children later on, so he knew that one of the Shvatim is going to be split, and he gave that schus to Yosef, that he split him into Menashe, Ephraim, Kirubim, Mishim, and Yuli, and he knew that he had a right to do this because it was told by Nevuah, Goy Kal Goy Miyami Mecha. So the writer writes in his commentary on the Torah's Kohanim that the Gemara has a tradition, Gemiri, the Gemara Yesh Nechum says, Gemiri, the Lord called a shift in Israel, that a whole Shevet will never be wiped out. The Gemara makes the calculations that if somebody dies, that the Yerusha goes to the son, no sons, no descendants, and it goes to the daughter, no sons, no daughters, goes to the father, no father, goes to the brothers, no brothers, their descendants, no brothers, no descendants, goes to the sister, goes to the cousins, goes to the uncle, goes. Nachlam and Mashmesh is Bahaleches ad Osher, ad Ruvain. So the Gemara says, why not say it's not Gemalt, no possibility, the whole Shevet was wiped out, and it goes to a different Shevet. The Gemara says, Gemiri, we have a tradition, the Lord called a shift to me, so it's impossible that a whole Shevet should be wiped out. That's impossible. How did the Gemara, where is this Gemiri? Where is this tradition from? So the Raivin and his Pirish on Teres Kahanim says it is based on this, that because Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol, every Shevet is, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave this Nevuah to Yaakov Avinu, he said, Goy Kal Goy Miyemi Mekka, the Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol. And Klal Yisrael was promised that the Kohol will never be wiped out. So the Kohol will never be wiped out doesn't only refer to the Klal Yisrael as a whole Uma Yisraelis. Every Shevet is called Shevet Echad Ikri Kol. So that Aptach applies to each and every Shevet. We don't know exactly who everybody is from every Shevet, but that's what the Haftacha was, that there will always be somebody left representing each one of the Shvatim. The Gemara has a halacha based on the Shevet Echad Ikri Kol. The Mishnah is in the first parak in Hari is going to get to the din of Par Halam Davashol Tzibur. Because in the Parshas of Vayikra, when it has the din of Par Halam Davashol Tzibur, it says, Menelam Dova Me'eni HaKohol. So the Mishnah has a machlokes hatanaim, and the way we paskin is, even if it's the Sanhedrin Shalechet Ben Ashvatim that paskin like that, every Shevet had its own Sanhedrin. Ramban HaChumash has this beginning of Parsha Shoftim. Each one of the 12 Shvatim had its own Sanhedrin. Ramban is not sure whether the Sanhedrin Shalach Shevet had 23 or had 71. He's not sure. So the Eichikep is thought Mitzad Asvar, it had to be 71. He thought, how can it be 23? So how are they higher than the other Sanhedrin, Sanhedrin Tano? Well, how can you call them Sanhedrin Doyle of the Shevet as opposed to Sanhedrin Tano of the city, if the number is only 23? So they thought Mitzad Asvar should be 71. But the Ramban is not sure. Okay. But the Ramban quotes from the Mishnah in the first Perek HaHaris that every Shevet had its own Sanhedrin. And it's based on that pasuk at the beginning of Shoftim. Tidn lecha b'chol sharecha lishvatecha. Lishvatecha shememanim bezden lechol shevet v'shevet over and above the bezden lechol of the year. And their function is to paskin for their shevet. And if that Sanhedrin shalosh shevet paskin, let's say that you're allowed to turn on electric lights on Shabbos, and the robe of the shevet violated chilul Shabbos because of the psak of their bezden ha-shevet, so that bezden of that shevet brings a paralam dolo shel tzivus. So the Gemara says that's based on this halacha, the Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol. Each one of the Shvatim is considered a whole unit of Klal Yisrael. Soloveitchik has an essay about this story by Yehovi Kishimo. He says, the man never met, whoever this strange figure is, he never met Yankov Avinu. So what does he start up with him for? He doesn't know who he is. He says, this pasuk represents, that's how the Zohar says, this pasuk represents anti-Semitism throughout all the generations. Zedor Shel Shmad. The Zohar comments, Vayiga b'chaf yirech v'ateka kaf yirech yaka b'heof k'imazes. This is a remiss for the Dor Shel Shmad. That the goyim are always starting up at the Jews. They don't even know who we are. They never met us before. They have a built-in anti-hatred for the Jewish people without ever having met the Jewish people before. So that's what the Netziv talks about, and others in Rav Soloveitchik. This is one of his recurrent themes. Because he lived through the war when the Nazis were killing all the Jews. It didn't make any sense. What were they killing the Jews for? Well, what did the Jews bother them? So Rav Soloveitchik said over from the Netziv. The Netziv has a whole essay about Sheris Yisrael, I think it's called, a whole essay about what prompts anti-Semitism. So he says some people give political explanations, and some people give sociological explanations, all kinds of explanations. So he says none of the explanations make any sense. It says by Yisrael Tzitzil Habon and Bekirbo, they were fighting with each other before they were born. Before they were born, they were killing each other. So it has nothing to do with any of these explanations. It says by Yehovah Kishima, he never met him before, and he hates the Jew. Halacha biyodua, Rashi quotes this week, said Halacha biyodua she'esu senelian. That's built into the Teva Ha'olam. It's a difference. It's a difference between night and day. A difference between Kodesh and Chol. So they're always rubbing against each other. We shouldn't think that we're gonna get the Yumas Olam to love us. That's never gonna happen. Just have to try to keep things under control. Shouldn't try to make peace in this. Try to have things under control, but not to have peace that we should be palsy. Well, it's never gonna happen. There's gonna be peace. Even though they're not Esav, they're Yishmael, but it's also never gonna happen.
That's
how the Netziv
explains
the whole
Eros, Esav,
and Rebos, Sitna. It's got each at various forms of Sitna. But the only thing is that Sitna is going to remain. Mm-hmm. How did the Chazal know that this was Sora Shel Esav? Maybe it was just a hooligan who mugged them. So the Mefarshim say Pashut, because After the Schweitzer mugs me, so I asked him, give me a bracha. And the Schweitzer asked me, what's my name? I'm going to tell him my name and my address. He's going to tell me, he's going to break my window, he's going to come into my home. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. And then he gives me a blessing and he gives me a nickname, and then for the rest of my life I go with the nickname that the Schwarzer who beat me up gave me. It's ridiculous. The whole story doesn't make any sense. See, obviously this by Yorick Yishima was not the Shikere Goy who was just beating him up. Obviously Yaakov Avinu realized that this guy was a malach, some kind of a malach. So the Chazal had a tradition that it was Sorosh Aleisim, and that's what the Haftarah says. The Haftarah says that it was a Bar Yasi Yisrael a malach. The Navi interprets the parsha that it was a malach. It wasn't stunned by Yavik Yishim. You can tell from the parsha that it was it wasn't Pashut.
Based upon the call that Avinu sent to Yaakov, is there any way to be malach as opposed to on the Orthodox Rabbana who were in favor of these concepts? Knowing that we know this is supposed to be the temple, they're not going to allow us, they're going to hate us and want to kill us. Is there anything else in Chazal that would support those who want him, who obviously knew this?
Look, I was never supportive of the peace process. I think it was 100% wrong. And as I say from Rav Elbel Soloveitchik, that he said that Rav Chaim is so penetrative, he can analyze the situation, tell you what's going to happen in another 60 years. Rav Elbel says, I don't have that ability, but at least I can see what's under my nose, as opposed to others, you can't even see what's under their nose. It's not a question that the rabbis who were supportive of the peace process couldn't see what's going to happen in another 10 years. They simply couldn't see what's under their nose. I think it's ridiculous. Why they did it? I understand why. Look, you have to prepare the Doron v'letfila olam al-chama. And they felt that if you give a big enough Doron, so that'll work. I understand that. But the question is, did you give away a Doron? Give away the whole Jewish religion. Do you give away as a Doron? There are limits what you can give away. So the question is, does it make sense to give away Eretz Yisrael? Are you allowed to give away Eretz Yisrael? That's the Doron. You give away behemoths. You give away cash. You give away other things. You don't give arms to the enemy. Give them behemoths. So that's a question that I think was totally unjustified. But that you have to follow Yaakov Avinu, absolutely. But the Ramban quotes the Medrash that when Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi had to go negotiate with the Romans, so he used to learn through the parshas by Yishloch to get an insight how to deal with them. So the insight should be L'Doron V'Latzvim V'Lamachamah. But there have to be guidelines of what kind of a Doron. It has to be within reason. If it's unreasonable, so then it's ridiculous.
In addition to calling myself in the money, the Rebbe goes on Parshas Lechachon again this week, a mace in terms of the others, and maybe they were volunteering with the Mishnah. What about the the gracious Rabba that the others kept the Torah, and the Rashi says even Erev Tashila. So, okay, maybe they weren't, too, they were volunteering. But the Mahalach that Rebbe's been following, it seems that they only kept the few mitzvahs that you mentioned, and Lechacha, you mentioned Amuna, Nathanamari, Mila, you mentioned just a few.
No, that they were nitzdavah, that they were commanded. That they were commanded to observe.
So you're saying, that set that Rebbe gave, you're saying that this mitzvah, and these other, like, according to all these other things.
I think Gemara says, was Zayna mitzvah? That was Zayna mitzvah, yes.
But they nevertheless knew it Al-Pi Nevuah and reauthorized according to
I don't know, Al-Pi Nevuah, the Medrash says, how did Avraham Avinu figure out what the other mitzvahs were? So the Medrash says that he had Kloyos Yoatzos. So it doesn't sound like it was Nevuah. It sounded like he looked into the world and he could figure out what the mitzvah should be. He could even figure out the Dinam Derabbanan. That the Dinam Derabbanan makes so much sense, they blend in, if you have a good insight, you can figure out the Dinam Derabbanan by looking into the world also.
Rebbe was saying a minute ago that the world feels so much would be easy to receive. Any territory would be now that, or even that's the specific one?
I personally think that it has a din of a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah has a difference between a Jewish government and a Malchus and Mesoilim. So my personal opinion is that the government in Eretz Yisrael has the status of a Jewish government, even though they're not too religious. The Pashtus has a status. It has the status of a Jewish government, so the army that they sponsor, they have an army, so the army that they sponsor has the status of a Machne Yisrael. It has the status of a Machne Yisrael, then you can begin to discuss the Dinim HaMachemes Mitzvah. So one of the halachas of Machemes Mitzvah is that when you have control over Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to give it away. You're mechuyev to go to war in order to maintain that area if you think you're going to win. If you think you're going to win. So the Pashtus they would have won. If they would have gone to war, they would have won. Of course they're going to lose lives. every war, by definition, you lose lives. You can't expect to rely on this. But with a loss of life, you can't say slight. With the loss of many Jewish soldiers' lives, they would have won the war. They would have maintained all of Eretz Yisrael. If they would have lost 5,000 soldiers in order to maintain Eretz Yisrael, so that means that they lost the war. So that's the question: does it pay or not? So you have to determine: does it pay? My personal opinion is that it certainly would have paid. Would have lost a few lives. Would have won the war. It would have been shown. Everything would have been under control. And like this, the whole country is out of control. Gemara in Chulin has a comment on the pasuk Vayeyovik Ishim on Miloshen Ovok. That Helu Ovok Ad Kisei Hakovoy. Rashi quotes a little bit of this. Doesn't quote the whole thing. Rashi says, Rashi has one shot. Menachem Pirush Vayeyovik Ovok Loshen Ofor Shehoyu Malim Ofor Biraglei Maidei Ninuam. When you have a dirt floor and the people are moving around, running around, so when they rub their feet into the dirt floor, so they're going to be mala avok. So this the Gemara understands like that. The helu avok, but the Gemara adds on, helu avok got kisei hakovod. The avok covered over the kisei hakovod in the sense that represents the idea, that's what the Shaloh writes the whole arichas on this parsha. That the Helu Avakat Kisei HaKavod represents the fact when the Jewish people are being attacked and there's anti-Semitism and so on, throughout all the generations, this is as if Eina Kisei Shalom, as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne is incomplete. That's how the Chazal say on the Pasuk, Kiyod al Kase Ko. Why does it say Kase? Why does it say Kisei Ko? In the end, the Parsha is B'Shalom. Because Eina Kisei Shalom, Hachim Moche Zara Shalom Olik. Calls man that the Jewish people are being attacked like today. The Jewish people are under attack in Eretz Yisrael. So it's as if the Jewish God is unable. It looks ki'ilu, as if the God of the Jewish people, which is the only God in the whole wide world, is only one God. As if God is unable to control the world. He's able to, but for some reason or another, it's his malchus is covered up. So that's what it means. Helu avagat kisei hakavod. Calls man that you have anti-Semitism, and the Jews are being attacked. It appears as if the kisei hakavod, the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is incomplete. It's dusty. If he's not in full control of the world. When Yaakov arranged the whole family as they were approaching Esav, so the pasuk says he put the shvachas the aldeim rishona, leo v'ilodeho acharonim, v'esrochel v'es yosef acharonim. What do you mean acharonim? That's achron achron. It said already says acharonim. So the first time that it says leo v'ilodeho acharonim doesn't mean achron. It means after them, and Rachel v'Yosef Acharon, it means the very final, Acharon Acharon. Rashi quotes Acharon Acharon Chavit, and in this case, Acharon Acharon Chavit. He's afraid that Esav is going to kill someone, so he says, let him kill those whom he doesn't love so much. And then the next group, and then the third group is the group that he loves most. It doesn't mean Acharon Acharon Chavit. I want to express my appreciation to a whole list of people, and the one whom I like most, I save to the end. You say Acharon Acharon Chavit. People usually do that if they want to give a whole arichas about the last one whom they are closer with. Then it makes sense. But if you're not going to give an arichas, you're just going to say I want to say thank you to A B C D E F, and then you say Acharon Acharon Chavit. Why is Acharon Acharon Chavit? Acharon Acharon Chavit is over here. It makes sense. If the enemy is going to kill the first group or the second, at least the third group, boy, Machana Nishal Efleito, so they'll be saved. Anyway, this is a famous pasuk. The Tosis Yontif Amishnayis writes that an Apikoris once confronted him and he asked, how can you Orthodox Jews keep on praying for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash if in the Novi Chagai it says that he was told in Nevuah that they should build the second Beis HaMikdash, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Bnei Yisrael b'Nevuah, God liya kvod abayis hazeh ha'achram min ha'rishon, that this, the last Beis HaMikdash, will be more glorious and greater and more wonderful than the first Beis HaMikdash. So the Novi said, this is it. This is the Bais Achron. So what do we pray that there's going to be another Bais HaMikdash? It's against the words of the Navi. So the Tosis Yontif told them that in Biblical Hebrew, the word Achron doesn't mean last, final. It means ladder. And he demonstrated it from the two psukim. Here it says, Leo v'yiladeho acharonim, asrachol v'yosef acharonim. So the word acharonim, by Leo v'yiladeho, just means Leo v'yiladeho after the first group, and rachol v'yosef acharonim after that group. So Acharonim just means afterwards. And similarly in Parshas Va'era, I think in Parshas Va'era, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends Moshe Rabbeinu in front of Paro, so Moshe Rabbeinu said, but I have to have some awesome office to demonstrate that I got a nevuah. Otherwise he's not going to look at me. Even after he showed him the awesome office, he didn't listen to him. He said he has to have some siman. So first he gives Moshe Rabbeinu one siman, and then he gives him another siman. The one siman was about the matah, was Nepach L'Nochash, and the one siman that his hand turned into Neged Saras, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Le'yaminu l'kol ho'os ha'rishon ve'yaminu l'kol ho'os ha'achron. They'll believe you that you're a Navi based on the last dose. And then he says, Le'yaminu l'kol ho'os ha'achron. Then he tells them, V'hapachtos me'mei ha'yor la'dam. He should cause the water to turn into dam. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu called the second os, the os ha'achron, so what does he give him yet, the third os? There's going to be another os. He already called that the Acheron. So you see that in Biblical Hebrew, the word Acheron doesn't have the meaning that it has today. Rishon doesn't always mean first. Rishon sometimes in Chumash means prior, preceding. It says, Achta Yom Rishon Tashbisa Sar Mi Patechem. You have to, Bir Chometz is not on the first day Pesach, it's on Erev Pesach, the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, Achta Yom Rishon Tashbisa means that on the day before Pesach, it doesn't mean the first day Pesach. So just like the word Rishon doesn't always mean the first, it's not the same as the modern usage in modern Hebrew, so to the word Achron doesn't always mean last. A lot of times in Tanakh it just means what comes afterwards or latter. So when the Nabi was told, the word Achron doesn't mean the last Beis HaMikdash, it means this the latter Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Tosfos Yontov answered. Then there's a famous word from the Rishoner that he said al derech ha-halotza, that the pasuk says when Bnei Yisrael had to bring Pesach Mitzrayim, so they were told to put the dam on the batim on shtei mezuzos v'alamashke. When they shechted the korban Pesach, there was no mizbeach. So the Gemara says the zrikas that they did al shtei mezuzos v'alamashke was bimkoim zrikas adam al mizbeach. And what's with haktoris and murim? What they do that? So the Gemara in the end of Zohar discusses the pasuk in Chumash never says. It just says there was Rikis on Shtei Mezuzos V'Alamashkev taking the place of the Mizbeach. So the Pasuk has the expression V'hoyo Hadam Lachem Li'os Al Abatim, that the Dam will be an Os on the homes where the Jewish people live, and then when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do Makas B'choros on Leil Pesach for Yisias Hadam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see the Dam V'fasachti Alechem, and he will skip over the homes of the Jewish people. Rashi has two pshatim. Fasachti means vidilakti, or fasachti means virichamti, v'chamalti. Two pshatim, how to translate the fasachti. So the pashuk shad by Adam l'cham li'os al abatim, that the dam on the shtei mezuzos and the mashke will be an os on the homes where the Jewish people live, that there won't occur any makas b'choros. So the vision is said, al derech ha'halotze, v'hoy Adam l'cham li'os al abatim on the batim mikdashes. The dam that Moshe Rabbeinu was told, v'im lo yamira l'kol ho'os ha'achron, then the shafachta mimei hayor the nepchu ha mayim ladam. So that dam, ahoy adam, that dam, that's called. If they don't listen to the os achron, he's going to give another os, the third os. So that dam should be the os ala batim on the batim mikdashes. It's going to be a third base on mikdash. It's obviously not the poshib shat and the poshib, but that's al derech ha halotza. Bechsidim, that's a famous word from the Rishoner.
This is the Shana, the Pasuk in Chagai. Rebbe, in an earlier Parsha Shir, mentioned, alluded to the Gemara in Horeos, saying it's Yudais and the Mishnah and Yuma and Nundalit, that by Shani was missing a lot of things. The Mishnah and Abbas also, they're talking about the Nisim and Rebbe. So, how did that, those things are missing by Shani? How could Chagai say that this latter one, as Rebbe is pointing out, it was greater than the first one? Didn't
see it as something. The Gemara in Baal Basi is that on that Gimel, what way was it greater? It was clearly not greater, it was much less. So the Gemara has a Machlekes Rav Shmuel on that Gimel in Baal Basi. So one Amara says because it lasted longer. How much longer did it last? So according to the Talmudic tradition, the Bais Rishon lasted 410 years, Bais Shani lasted 420 years. So does it against the mind? It lasted 10 years longer. According to the history books, it lasted more than 10 years longer. So according to the Gemara, it's only 10 years longer, so that's called Goliya Kvod Abai said because it lasted 10 years longer. The other suggestion is because it was physically taller. It was taller. The Gemara put the Pesukim, how tall was the Bais Rishon, how tall was the Bais Shem. It's a difficult Gemara. That's what the Gemara says on. That Gemara, they have printed in the back of the Vilna Shas, the Oris from the Rashash's son, of Matisyo Shdrashon. So he quotes a Zohar that comments on that pasuk in Chagai, that Goliath quote Habayis Hazeho Achron Min Arishon, Achron really like the Apikoris, not like the Tarsian. Achron means the last base on Migdash, and it's an allusion to the third base on Migdash. Habayis Hazeho Achron, this Beis HaMikdash hyphenated Achron. It's a hyphenated because the third Beis HaMikdash is considered a hemshech of the second Beis HaMikdash, as opposed to the first and the second. The second was not a hemshech of the first. It says when they destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash, it says Oru Oru Ad HaYisaybo. They destroyed utterly everything. There was nothing left. And when they built the second Beis HaMikdash, they had to have Nevi'im, Gimel Nevi'im, Olu Imam Yibavol, to tell them where the location is of everything. The second Beis HaMikdash, when it was destroyed, wasn't totally destroyed. They left the Kaisel Ma'arav, they left the certain underground tunnels, they left a whole bunch of things. And now the archaeologists reconstructed where everything was without any Nevi'im. You can figure out where everything was. And Al-Pi Halacha is considered like that, that the third Beis HaMikdash, which will be built, will be considered a hemshech of the second Beis HaMikdash. That's how Rav Soloveitchik suggested Pshat in the Pasuk. It says, V'hotzi Yisraelin HaRosho, the Shuas Chain Chain Law, the Pasuk in the end of the Haftarah in Zechariah, on Shabbos Chanukah. So he thought that what it means is that the whole period of the second Beis HaMikdash was like a placing of a cornerstone, Achana, for the third Beis HaMikdash. V'hotzi Yisraelin HaRosho, the whole Tkufah is by Shein. Not just that they laid the cornerstone at that time, but rather that the whole Tkufah is by Shein, he was Achana for the Bayis HaShlishi. So that's what the Zohar has such a comment. The Matisyos Dashon quotes such a Zohar, Balabasa Dav Gimel. Goliya, the Navi said, Goliya Kvod, Habayis Hazeh, HaAchron is a hyphenated. Habayis Hazeh, the second hyphen, next, last, Beis HaMikdash, together will constitute one unit, and this will outshine the Bayis Rishon. The Gemarin, the beginning of Abbasra, the Gemara has a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel, whether it was taller or lasted long, and the Gemara wanted to fulfill the pshuta shel mikra, leaving out the omek kavanas harinyan. The pshuta shel mikra, also the second Beis HaMikdash was slightly greater than the first, but clearly was much less. It was not greater because the psukim said that the old timers were crying. But they said, how does this compare to the first Beis HaMikdash? They said, it's ka'ayim be'ayinim, it's like nothing. It doesn't compare to the first Beis HaMikdash at all. After the encounter with Esav and after the fight with the Vayyovi Kishimo, so the pasuk says Vayyovi Yaakov Shalem Yishchem. He was a one piece. Vayyovi Yaakov Shalem. The Rashi writes from the Medrash, he was Shalem beGufa and Shalem beMamona, Shalem beTayrosoi. So the Shaloah has his long arichas on this, that throughout all of the years of the Golus of the Jewish people, the end always is that there's more terror than there ever was before. Imagine the Nazis killed so many Talmidei Chachamim and so many Yirei Shamayim, and they destroyed so many yeshivas and everything. One would have thought that that would be the end of terror. Now there's more learning than there ever was before. That Shalom Mitairos and Shalom Amano, the Jews are richer than they ever were before. The Jews are wealthier than they ever were before. They're undertaking projects, they're building yeshivas and building Chassidish Shtiklot and Eretz Yisrael and all over. Like palaces. They never built like Beis HaMikdash. They're building places. There's so much money. They're putting out Svarim. They're putting out the new Shulchan Aruchs and the tours and everything. Putting out Svarim. Each safe costs $250,000 to put out. Putting out new editions of everything. Shalom Agufa, Shalom Atairas, Shalom Amamona. This is the history of the Jewish people. After suffering all of these pogroms, the Klal Yisrael reorganizes, and they're back again in full force. And the pasuk continues, Vayichan es Pneho Ir. And the Shalom quotes from the Gemara in Masechah Shabbos that Yaakov Avinu doesn't ignore the outside world. He's very involved in the economy of the city. One opinion in the Gemara has different suggestions. What does it mean exactly? V'yichan es pneihu ir. He gave chayin, he added chayin to the beauty of the city. So one opinion in the Gemara, one suggestion is that he was misakin berchatzos, that people should be healthy. They never believed in taking a bath. Whatever, they never had a public bathhouse. They instituted that they should have merchatzos, they should bathe, they should keep clean and healthy. Another suggestion that he was misakin shvokim or choyvos, he made streets and he made malls and shopping centers and so on. You show them how you run a country, how do you run an economy. Another suggestion, the Gemara, he instituted a coin system, a monetary system. They shouldn't just do barter like in the old days. It's a modern world that the Jews are always involved in improving society. We have to be involved in our things and have to be involved in their things. We have to be involved in Torah, Yerushalayim, and Mitzvahs, and Mais, and Tovim. We have to be involved in improving the world also. Obviously, the world would not be able to improve itself without Yaakov Avinu. They never had a monetary system. They never had these things. So Leishig was fond of holding his drasha. The pasuk described Avram Avinu describes himself to the Bnei Ches Ger B'Toshev Anochi Imochem. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash. It's a problem. What do you mean Ger B'Toshev? It's a contradiction. Toshev means I'm one of you, and Ger means I'm a stranger. So Rashi quotes an interpretation of the Medrash. So Leishig used to say his Alderach Hapshat. He thought Alderach Hapshat. He thought that what Rashi says in Alderach Medrash, and he thought what he was saying was Alderach Hapshat. But Ger B'Toshev means, as far as religion is concerned, as far as Ruchni is concerned, I'm a ger. I have absolutely nothing to do with you. We have nothing in common. There's nothing to discuss with the Pope and with the Galochim. We don't have any interfaith dealings with them. But he's a Taishav, and in fighting against poverty, and in fighting against sicknesses, and in trying to improve the whole world, trying to improve the economy, everything else, like Yaakov Avinu, Yichanes Pnei Yehud, that we're a Taishav like everybody else. We join together with Yom HaSoilon in order to improve the world. But as far as Ruchni is concerned, they'll never understand what we have to say. We have no shachis with them, and we shouldn't associate with them. That's the Ger B'Toshev B'Vasachas. The Pasuk tells about the incident with Bas Yaakov. We spoke about it last night a little bit. The brothers suggested, let them all convert, and then we'll be permitted to marry them. So the belt has a famous shot, but if they plan to kill him, what are they telling them that they should convert for? They should have told them no, and they should have popped them over there. They should have killed them right away. What did they give? What was the whole idea over here? That they should be weakened? The Yosam Koavim. So the belt has a famous comment that if the Jews would have attacked this Goyish city, the newspapers would be full, the CNN would be attacking, all the Palestinians would kill. But as far as after they converted, they were Jewish. So if you kill a whole bunch of Jews, the world is not going to be angry. It's not such a joke. The Belt said it as a vitz, but it's not such a joke. Maybe that's Takad Pshat. Maybe that's Takad Pashim Pshat, that they didn't want to be attacked. Because it says that Yaakov Avinu was afraid of repercussions from the neighbors. He said, what do you do? They're going to wipe us out. What did you do? And nothing happened, it says. Nothing happened. So maybe that's back in the shot. Nothing happened because they were Jewish.
Yeah, why is there a machlokes between the Rambam and the Rambam? The Rambam in one of the Brooklyn says that they were right because they violated the Shemitz and they didn't prosecute him. But according to the Ramban doesn't like it so much.
No, the Rambam and the Ramban both say that the Bnei Yaakov did right. They did right, that the people who lived in the city Shechem all deserved the Noinish Misa. Just as a detail, Machlek is the Rambam and the Yarech HaZot, the Rambam and the Ramban, why did they deserve an Onish Misa? So the Rambam says they deserved an Onish Misa because they didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Dinim. The Dinim requires that if you see someone violating one of the laws on the books, you have to prosecute. Here they saw Shechem ben Hamor attack the girl, and he gets away with it. There's no punishment whatsoever. He gets away because he's the chief of the whole village. So that's not right. So the Rambam says that they all deserved an Onish Misa because they failed to fulfill the mitzvah of Dinim. Because the Rambam's opinion is apparently that the Gemara says Azarasim Zui Misasim. The Gemara Sanhedrin says that whenever a Nachri violates any Avera, by us we have different Misas. You have Skila, Srefa, Herek, Chenik, and Malkus, and Kores, and Misa B'dei Shamayim, and Knas, and Mammon, a whole list of different Onshim for different Averas. And by the Yom Misaylam, the only onish that they have is Saif. They don't have Arba Mises, they only have Saif, and they have Saif for any Aveira. Azaros and Zuyin is awesome, and the Rambam understands that you give the Saif even if they fail to fulfill a mitzvah saseh. Not only if they violate a loy saseh, the kumbi saseh, even if they are mevatla mitzvah saseh. The Rambam has a machlokes with Rashi, how to understand the Gemara regarding B'nai Keturah. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, in Sugya B'nai Noach, that the mitzvah meal only applies to the Jewish people, the non-Jews are not mechayif to perform meal. However, Avraham Avinu was obligated to mimigard the B'nai Keturah. Not only was he mechayif to be mal, he was mechayif to be mal Yitzchak, he was also mechayif to be, he was mal Yishmael, and so on. He was also mechayif to be mal the B'nai Keturah. So Rashi on the Gemara interprets that those children that he, after his wife Sarah died, he married Keturah, so the children that Keturah gave birth to, their sons, he had to be Malveh. But it doesn't mean that B'nai Keturah, Bizman Hazeh, the descendants of the original B'nai Keturah, that they too have a mitzvah of Milah. Rashi holds that that's not correct. It means Avraham Avinu had to be Mal, his children who were born from Keturah. And the Rambam learns, no, that those who are descendants from the B'nai Keturah, Tzoyf Kaladaris, have an obligation to be Mal themselves, Zara Yayim Hazeh. And the Rambam says, though, but if they won't be mal, if they won't observe the mitzvah milah, we don't give them the death penalty because it's really a suffix, because we don't know, they're all mixed up, they're all mixed in with each other, so we don't really know who are the B'nai Keturah, who are not the B'nai Keturah. But from the Rambam is mashma, the Shagasari has a chew about this. He thinks that Rashi is right. He doesn't think the Rambam is right at all, that there should be a subdivision among the goyim, the B'nai Keturah, Bizman Hazeh, have a mitzvah milah. He thinks that mamash, it doesn't make sense. Rashi has to be right that only the original B'nai Keturah of Mechui Kozah, they were Avraham Avinu's children, even though they weren't Jewish, only Yitzchak was Jewish. But Avraham Avinu had a tzibur, he has to be mal all of his children, even though they're not, even though only Yitzchak was Jewish, he had a chiyuv to be mal. But the shad is within the Rambam. The Rambam holds that Bizman Hazeh, all the B'nai Keturah have to be mal, but they don't get the death penalty because it's only a suffix, because they were Nesar Vizeh Vizeh, we're not really sure. But in the days that we could identify who's who in the outside world, then the Rambam is mashma b'feirus that there would have been chai misa for failing to fulfill the mitzvah saseh of milah. And the Ramban on Parshas Vayishlach disagrees. He says no. He says that for failing to fulfill a mitzvah saseh, you don't give an oinish misa. Azharasim zui misasim the Gemara an azhara. Azhara means a violation of a loy saseh. The Gemara says azhara says ilach shma azhara. The Gemara says an azhara, the terminology of azhara means that you violated an avera. It doesn't mean that you didn't fulfill a mitzvah. So the Ramban Chumash disagrees, and he thinks that he says the B'nai Shechem, the people of the city Shechem, deserve the punishment of Misa because they violated other Averes. They violated Avodah Zarah, Gilui Rashi, Chasdamim. They violated other things. But he says for not fulfilling the mitzvah of punishing the violators of the law, you don't give an Einish Misa. Then the Ramban, that's his machlokes with the Rambam. You give an Einish Misa for a violation of an essay, for bitul mitzvah says. Then the Ramban has another comment on Parshas Vayishlach. He says that dinim includes all the choftal of avos nezikin. That's a statement that he makes. The dinim doesn't only mean, like the Rambam writes, that they have to punish anyone who violates one of the other of the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach. Dinim means they have to institute all of dinim mominis like it by us, the chavtal at avos nezikin. So this is very difficult, this statement, because the Gemara says in Sanhedrin in the sugya of B'nai Noach that Shom Sam Lachok HaMishpat V'Shom Nisahu was before Mammon Hasina. Where was that? In Mara. So what does it mean Chok? They were given Chok HaMishpat, Mishpat, they were given dinim. So the Gemara asked Akashi, Dinim. Dinim was given to the B'nai Noach before, so what was added on Mishpat was added on now. So the Gemara says, Dinim Knosses. That the Yom HaSoylem, whenever part of their Dinim, Knosses are not included in the Dinim Mominus system of the Yom HaSoylem. But it was Nischadish and Mora, Choka Mishpat. Mishpat means Dinim, that by us it was Nischadish, a whole institution of Knoss. In the 24 Avos Nezikin, the Mishnah says that there are 4 Avos Nezikin, the Mishnah beginning of Bava Kama. And then there's one Brisa that there are 13 Avos Nezikin, another Brisa that there are 24 Avos Nezikin. So the Gemara asks, how come the Mishnah says there are only 4? So the Gemara explains, the Mishnah only lists off the moment, it doesn't list Knas. And the 13 and the 24 include Kefal, Dalavah, Ha'imis, Mefatim, Moitzi, Shemra, a whole bunch of things that are Knas. So the Ramban writes that there are 24 Avos Nezikin, all the Chavtal of Avos Nezikin apply to them, that's not against the Gemara, the Acharinim is. But that's the there's a Tshuva Saramo about this Ramban. The Ramah holds like this Ramban. The Ramah had a relative who was known as the Maharam Padua, who lived in Italy, and he published the Rambam. He's the Magia. When he published Rambam, he wrote Haggadot. If you look in the regular Rambam, you have the Magid Mishnah, the Kesef Mishnah, the Lachem Mishnah, Mishlam Melech, and the Migdalois, all the different people. Then every three or four pages is one skinny line on the bottom of the Rambam before you get to any of the Mepharshim. One thin line, it says Betrusim Acherim, and has a different word, or Kein Tzorech Lius, or has something in there, brackets and parentheses, but it says Metur. There and there has, those are the Haggadot of the Maharam Padua. So he published, he set the type anew. And he published the Rambam with his Haggadot, and he was selling it. It cost him a fortune of money. He had to lay out a lot of money. He was selling his Rambam. Then came along a Nachri, an enterprising Nachri, and he reprinted the old Rambam. So the Maharam Padua doesn't have copyright on the Rambam. Rambam's copyright expired. And the Maharam Padua couldn't take out a copyright. He didn't write it. So this guy reprinted an old Rambam without the five lines of the Maharam Padua. So he reprinted Rambam. He was selling it for less than the Maharam Padua. So everybody was buying the guy's Rambam. It was less expensive. And the Maharam Padua was left with all of his svar. So he thought that it's not right. Maharam Padua thought it's not right that the guy chapped the mice. So he asked the Rambam, what does he think? So the Rambam was a cousin of his. So he wrote a whole tshuva that you have to first buy from the Maharam Padua's, and after he sells his out, then you're allowed to buy from the guy. You're not allowed to buy from the guy first. So he gives him about 6-7 reasons. So one reason he says is, the Gemara says in later in Ezel Neshech, I think, Kisim Kamim Kala Misecha Kana Miyala Misecha, whenever you can go shopping either by Jew or by non-Jew, it's a mitzvah to prefer to do your business shop by a Jew. The Gemara says, even if it costs you a little bit more. So he says, even though the Maharam Padua's Rambam is slightly more expensive than the Nochi's Rambam, it's a mitzvah we all have to buy the Maharam Padua's Rambam. Then he says also the Maharam Padua wrote Haggadot on the Rambam. So the guy's Rambam is a Sefer Sheina Mugra. The Gemara says in Ksubis that you're not allowed to leave around the house a Sefer Sheina Mugra, a Sefer that has mistakes in it. Then he has another reason, keeps on giving. Then he says the most difficult reason that he has is that the Ramban writes on Parshas Vayishlach that included in Dinim is the whole Chosh Mishpat, the whole Chavta Avos and Zikim. So the Ramah says, and it says in the Tur, Chosh Mishpat, it's quoted the Gemara from Bava Basra in the second parak, that when a Talmud Chacham comes to town to sell his merchandise, let's say the two merchants come to town, they're both selling needles, they're both selling potatoes or oranges, whatever, apples, and one is a Talmud Chacham and one is not a Talmud Chacham. So the Gemara says, Naktina Leishuka, first you let the Talmud Chacham sell all of his merchandise, so you won't have to be mevatel learning all day long, and then after he finishes selling his, then you give permission to the Yam Haaretz that he has the right to sell his. So the Ramah says, since that then appears in Chosh Mishpat, so the Goyim are bound by that too. So it's a Chadin to Talmud Torah, Kovet HaTorah. He says, no, but it's a Din of Chosh Mishpat, and the Ramban wrote on Parshas Vayishlach that all the Chof Talarovs and Zikin, everything that's a Chosh Mishpat applies to the Goyim. So the Goy has no right to sell his Rambam until the Maharam Padua sells his, because that's Naktina Leishuka. Has a whole tshuva, 6-7 reasons, a whole bunch of reasons why he says that that no one is allowed. He says the guy is not allowed to sell it until the Maharam sells out all of his, and the Jews are not allowed to buy it until the Maharam sells out all of his copies. So that'll take out a bunch of the Chaf Dalet. Not going to be 24 anymore. Take out Kefal, Dalet Vahey, Ernest and Mephata, Moshe Shemra. If you got to knock out Fox, it's only 19. So it's Lavdavke. When he said 24, it's Lavdavke. Okay. That's what they is. The number 24, the Gemara says, includes Knas. So the Lachar, you have to say the Ramban. It's not Neduyik. It meant the whole system of Chosh Mishpat. As they're about to enter Eretz Yisrael, so Yaakov Avinu tells the members of the family, Hasira said, Hey Hanech, Hashem Besechachem, Hitaru, Bahachlif, Asim, Losechem. So Rishonim have a problem. If a Jew has Avodah Zarah, he's supposed to destroy it, not just supposed to bury it under a tree. So why didn't Yaakov Avinu destroy it? So the Ramban and the Sfarna and other Rishonim say that the Maaseh Shoyah must have been that he must have gotten a goy to be mevatel the Avodah Zarah already. There's a din of bitl Avodah Zarah. Only Avodah Zarah shall nachri has bitl. Avodah Zarah shall yisol doesn't have bitl. Avodah Zarah yisol means two things. Either a Jew worshipped the Avodah Zarah, or if a non-Jew worshipped it but now belongs to a Jew. It's also called Avodah Zarah shall Yisrael. So now the Avodah Zarah belongs to the Jewish people, so the Ramban and the others say he must have gotten a nachri, and the act of bitl has to be done by a nachri also. The act of bitl can't be done by Jews. You have to get a goy to say, I don't believe that this is Avodah Zarah. I believe that I'm God. Whatever. I believe in this Avodah Zarah. I don't believe that this is Avodah Zarah. Whatever. You have to get a goy to declare an act of bitla. As far as I'm concerned, this is not a deity. So you have to get the goy to be mevatel Avodah Zarah before you acquire ownership, before you take it into your rishus. So the Rishonim say, must have been that was the Maaseh Shoyah. He already had bitla Avodah Zarah. So why did he tell him, Asiris Elahe Anecha Asher B'Seichachem? Why did he tell him to get rid of it, to dispose of everything? So they said that this was a chumrah. Yaakov Avinu made a chumrah. Sometimes you have to be machmir. You have to make harchokis in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara has a dinim that one is not permitted to display any interest in Avodah Zarah. Al tifnu elhu alilim means you shouldn't even turn towards the Avodah Zarah, not la'avdom. Al tifnu alilim to display any interest at all. Years ago, the student council wanted to go visit the cloisters here in the neighborhood. So they asked Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik. That was in the generation when they used to ask shaylos. A different generation now, they don't ask any shaylos. Years ago, they asked Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik. He said, it's not permissible. That's a din in the Gemara. You're not allowed to display any interest at all in Avodah Zarah. So let's say to study, even though they're just going to go to study the architecture, to see how they used to build churches years ago, even though the cloisters are no longer used as a church. But he said, still it's a violation of Al Tifnu Elhu Alilim, to study religious paintings, just to study the religious paintings, to see a picture of Yashkin, to see the Mother Mary, or to see the disciples, or whatever, the Last Supper, whatever it happens to be. To study religious paintings, the Gemara says, is us. That's included in the prohibition of Al Tifnu Elhu Alilim. People looked in Yerideya and they were misled by a shach. This din, because it appears in the Gemara in the end of Masechah Shabbos, or the Shulchan Aruch quotes in the middle of Hilchah Shabbos. But it's not only a prohibition on Shabbos, it's a prohibition all week long, Al Tifnu Elhu Alilim. In Yerideya, in the beginning of the second Chelek Yerideya, the Shach talks about a different thing, that you're not permitted to get Hanoh from Avodah Zarah. So he says, only if it's a Tzura HaNe'avedus, only if this statue or this painting was actually worshipped by the Nochrim. So this is the actual Avodah Zarah itself, but if it's only a religious painting, they don't worship this, then it's Mutar Bahano. It means I can sell it to a goy. I can sell it, I can get an off from it, but to study it is still forbidden because of Al Tifnu Elhu Alilim. The Shach in Yerideya, who restricts it only to a Tzura HaNevedis, is restricting the Issa Hanoa to a Tzura HaNevedis, but the prohibition to study it applies even if it's not a Tzura HaNevedis. The Mishnah says in the first parak in Avodah Zarah that one is not permitted to travel on the highway where the the Nochrim who were traveling to the base of Avodah Zarah, where the pilgrims would be going to go to church. So the Mishnah says you're not allowed to go on that highway because of Marisayim, that people may think that you too are going to worship the Avodah Zarah. So the Rambam writes there in the Pirush HaMishnayos, well, is in the Yad HaZakeh, but in the Pirush HaMishnayos he has it more. So if you're not allowed to travel on the highway, certainly not allowed to live in the city where there's a church. So the Rambam says, Bava Nisena HaRam, every city has a church. So you can't live in any city. So he says, we are unable, so strictly speaking, today you have to run away to a desert. The Rambam says, the whole world is corrupt. So first, and that's what he writes in Hilchas Deis. So if the whole world is rotten, so he writes, you have to run away to a desert. So he says, as far as we're concerned, for sure it's Avodah Zarah. For us it's Avodah Zarah. The question is for them.
You can't pass by a
church either. The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Mishlei that one has to be marchik himself from a Beis Zaynus, and one has to be marchik himself from a Beis Avodah Zarah. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes And the Midas Chassid is that one should try to stay Dalet Amos away. One shouldn't walk within Dalet Amos of a Pesach Beis Avodah Zorah, a Pesach Beis Zayas. Yeah. For us, for sure, it's Avodah Zorah. The question is, if a Nochri worships the Trinity, so he's worshipping the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, so the Father is the same Father that we have, Avinu Shebashamayim, the same Father that we have in heaven. So he's worshipping the one and only invisible God, but he's worshipping also the other members of the board. So that's the question in Pasukim, whether that's the finders of it is our for Nachrim. For Nachrim, but for the Jews, for sure it's Avodah Zarah. For us, for sure it's a violation of Avodah Zarah. So the Rambam writes, I'm going to say in Harambim, there are churches in every city, so it's not Shayach. He can't expect the person to run. He writes theoretically, he writes in the Yarach HaZok and Hilchos Deis, that the whole world is rotten, so theoretically you should run away to a Midbar and live there. But practically speaking, you have to make a living. You can't live in the Midbar, so it's not Shayach. So he says we are unable to observe that din, but still one has to observe as much Achokis as one can. And Shulchan Aruch it says in Yeriday that one is forbidden to enter a church, not only during prayer time, even not during prayer time. It says in the Mechaber that during prayer time one is not permitted to enter a church even for the sake of Pikuach Nefesh. Not during prayer time, if it's for the sake of Pikuach Nefesh, then you are permitted to enter a church. During the war, it's a double yadur that many Jews would go into church during prayer time in order to make believe as if they were Christians in order to save their life. So in the Shulchan Aruch it says that that's Yehor Goyah, it says you're not allowed to. But now there's no wartime, now there's no Pikuach Nefesh, so for sure it's not permissible to go into a church. Even if the church is no longer used, the cloister is no longer used as a church, but still, why do people want to go? They want to display an interest in some other religion. So that's what God says. He's a very jealous God. Sometimes you have a couple, and the wife is very jealous why her husband is talking to other women. Or the husband is jealous why the wife is talking to other men. And they're makbid on it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he's a keel kana. He's a very jealous God. He has a relationship with the Jewish people. He says, Einoid Malvadoi. He wants to be the only one. He says, not only does he not want us to worship Avodah Zarah, he doesn't want us to display any interest whatsoever in anything that has to do with Avodah Zarah. He's told us he's a jealous God. The Rambam writes in the Mor in the Bukhim that expression, Kel Kano, jealous God, only appears in Tanakh in connection with Avodah Zarah. That's like a couple who are married. So one spouse is jealous of the other. They don't want them to show any interest in anybody else. So that's how Kadosh Baruch Hu says. He doesn't want us to display any interest.
Mavatl
makes it that it's muta bahano, but still we're displaying an interest in something that used to be an Avodah Zarah. That's also prohibited. I mean, even though it's no longer Nevad Bizman Azeh. That's the question. It's no longer Nevad. No one in the world worships it anymore. That's the question. Moshe Feinstein has a chew about that. So he comes up with some original chidushim. There is a din in the pasuk in Chumash in Mishpatim. You're not allowed to mention the name of an Avodah Zarah. Again, God is a jealous God. He doesn't want us to mention the name of another Avodah Zarah. So the Achrayim say, if it's an Avodah Zarah she'ain an Avedis, if nobody in the world worships it anymore, then there's no prohibition in mentioning the name of the Avodah Zarah. And they bring a right because the Tanoim always use the Lashon Mammon. And Mammon is the Greek god of money. Mammon is the Greek god of money. So how did the Heilige Tanoim use the word Mammon? So they say because the Darkei Tshuva quotes that in Yoredei Hilchos Avodah Zarah. So he says because nobody quotes from the Acharonim like that, because nobody worships it anymore. So since it's no longer an Avodah Zarah HaNevedah, so there's no prohibition in mentioning the name. Mammon, the Avodah Zarah. Sakash and the Darkei Tshuva. Sakash and the Darkei Tshuva. So Ramesha discusses this. What about displaying an interest? I think he says that you're not allowed to look at paintings. I think he says whatever was at one time at Surah HaNevedas, or whatever was belonged to some religion, the still a din of Al-Tishnu, I think so. I think that's what he says.
Really, so it comes out that you couldn't study the Parthenon, you can't study the architecture of the Parthenon.
Half is Gilead Arias. Half is Avodah Zarah. This fellow who collects money, Moshe Einstadter, who always collects money, he is a professor of English literature. So I once asked him, what can you teach already? It's a half is Avodah Zarah, half is Gilei Aras. He says, Taka B'Koshi Gadol. He has a reading list that he checked through. What's kosher? He has kosher reading. Not too much left. If you take on, it's the same people, the same Galochim. Most of the British poets were Galochim. So most of them wrote about Yashke. They're always dancing with Yashke. And then there are other poems. They're dancing with their shiksas, with their girlfriends. These Galochim. So you can't read the Ruba de Ruba of what they wrote, because it's either Gilei Aras or it's Avodah Zarah. There's very little left. I would think that it's not permissible. The Pashto says that it's not allowed. Mm-hmm. Here you find in the Seder that Yankel Avinu made his own chumras on his own, even though they were mevatel Avodah Zarah, and Shulchan Aruch says it's mutter. But he was dealing with these goyim. See, if a guy sits in Beis Medrash and he learns and he has no shachas with the outside world, he doesn't need all the chumras. But if a guy goes to business, he deals with the Christians, he deals with the Umas Olam, so he has to make achokas on his own. Bayichan as pnei huir. He's making shvakim and he's making merchatsoyas and he's working in cancer research and he's doing economics with the goyim. So then he realizes he has to make achokas for himself. The more the person deals with the outside world, so the more he has to have achokas. Not the more the person sits in the basement. The guy sits in the basement, he doesn't need the hachokas.
Yeah, after everything already said, that even if it's no longer Neva, you can't study it. So I want to ask Rebbe that several years ago in contemporary halacha, Rebbe gave a shir and Gura, and you question about if you can't study it and so on, you can't make it to Gemara and say, everybody's there. The question is, what about all these rich Jews who own a lot of art? Now, I don't know if they per se studying it, but when they have a party, a fundraiser in their apartment, you hear that these rich Jews, they invite people and say, hey, look, I have this famous painting. And maybe not in all cases, but some of them, maybe if it is religious art, if it is like, is there a split in art? Because the Gemara Avodah Zarah, not just if it's a Buddhist, but what about like if the pictures of Suras Adam and things like that? Like statues, like doesn't
want
to say it's also
make. Statues also to make.
But what about owning? Like here's this.
Owning it, the Gemara says, is sometimes forbidden. If there's going to be a marisai, they'll either think that you made it yourself or that you commissioned it. But if there's no marisai that you made it, that you commissioned it, which very often there is, so then there's no prohibition on owning it per se.
And what about even if it's that's secular art, but what about if it's religious art?
Religious art, you're not allowed to study? You're not allowed to show any interest in it. Yeah. It's not also about, no. It's not a Surah HaNevedis, but it's also to show interest in it. So we won't understand. We'll be in the dark. So we'll be in the dark.
Is it mutter to say Yashke's real name?
Yashke's real name? Agos Maimoni says that the name that he was given at the Bris, Jesus, that's permissible. Because that name they gave him by the Bris, that wasn't the name the Shem Avodah Zarah. But the second name, that's the Shem of the Hus, that you're not permitted to pronounce. But they usually probably so is Machma, so we don't say the first name either. So the Gemara says you have to be Baratim Eshmam and Amok Mahu, so the Gemara says you should be Mechan Hashem B'Gnai. You should change the name in a joking fashion. The Gemara says, "Kol leitzanusa asira barmi leitzanusa davar dezar." That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. You're not allowed to be cynical. Many people are. The Gemara says it's forbidden. You have to talk with derech eretz. It's not right to talk with bittul against everything, except for davar dezar. When it comes to davar dezar, how can you talk with a straight face about davar dezar? So the Gemara says, "Davar dezar." The Gemara quotes pesukim from Navi. Davar dezar, the Nevi'im always spoke with bittul, with a joking style.
And to use the title of the religion, or the title of the holiday that they have towards the end of December, to mention that by name?
I think that's just a minig. I don't think that's Mikra. That's not the name of the Avodah Zarah itself. That's a minig, is to say it in a joking fashion.
So it's not a mistake in reading art, but a rabbi, where he quotes one of the church fathers, and then he does the martyr in the article. So how would the rabbi
He quoted who?
Justin Martyr. I think it was before the church, or the church fathers. Maybe the only man of faith. I don't know which one.
Yeah.
But is that after the Rambam?
The Rambam and all the Rishonim used to read Sifrei Avodah Zarah also. So the Gemara says it's permissible and required if a person does it Lahavin Alahirith. So those who plan to be Ravs, one plans to be a Rav who's going to do Kiruv Halavis for thousands of people. So one, I would recommend that such a person should read all the Sifrei Avodah Zarah.
And that person
studies Christian law. If it's Lahavin Alahirith. Whatever is Lahavin on the harvest, the opposite door. Okay. So.